Moncrief on News Talk.
First, though, there's an ongoing issue about concussion in sport, as you know. But according to some research, women and girls are twice as likely to suffer from it when playing the same sport under the same rules. Dr. Michael Collins is a leading figure in concussion research. Mickey, good afternoon to you.
Hey, sure.
Thanks for coming in to us. Could you first define what is concussion and are there different sorts of it?
Yes. The word concussus literally translates from Latin to English to mean to shake violently. Think about your brain as an egg yolk inside an eggshell. And even though the shell's protected, the egg yolk moves inside the shell. And that movement of the brain inside the cavity of the skull results in changes to the cells and neurons. It actually creates an energy problem. There's no structural brain damage. There's no blood. There's no swelling. There's no changes to the brain structure. But it's more of an energy crisis. And that energy crisis that happens can affect different systems in the brain. And in fact, we've now learned there's five different types of concussions that can occur from that energy problem. And for each of those five different types, we have different risk factors, different treatments. And we're actually making huge progress in treating the injury effectively and getting kids back to the sports they love.
And when you say energy problem, what does that mean?
It means that the cell is struggling. So what happens, not to get too technical, but the membrane of the cell will stretch when the brain moves in the skull and potassium leaks out of the cell. That increases the demand for glucose. Calcium leaks into the cell and we get a constriction of our blood vessels and less cerebral blood flow. And blood supplies energy. So at the very time the brain's demanding more energy, we get actually less energy supplied. And so the cell is in this, what we call a metabolic crisis or an energy crisis. And that energy problem decompensates different systems in the brain. And there's really different types of concussions that clinicians need to be aware of.
Yeah. Now, and presumably the different types have different levels of severity attached to them.
Not necessarily. Oh. There's different categories. The five different types of concussions, cognitive or thinking problems, problems to a system in the brain called the vestibular system, which allows us to stabilize our vision when we move our head, allows us to interpret motion and movement, be in busy environments. The third type is ocular, which is your eyes working together as a team. It's not vision per se, but it's your eye movements. The fourth type is migraine, which is what it sounds like. And the fifth subtype is anxiety and mood issues. Patients can have one of those types, or they can have all five types simultaneously. If you have all five types, that's not a good day, and it's going to take longer to recover. If you have one type, the outcomes are a little better. But the key is to understand how to evaluate those different types and then match the right treatment to the right problem.
Yeah.
And if you do that, and we've done a lot of research showing, we do randomized trials looking at our treatments, they're highly effective if you can go to the clinician that can actually identify these types and then apply the right treatment to the right problem.
Is it easy to identify them? Because there's a common thing here saying the game of rugby that if somebody might have sustained a head injury, they're brought off and they're given some sort of assessment before they're allowed to play on again.
Yep.
Can it be done that fast?
No. The main job on the pitch is making sure that if there is a concussion, the patient's taken out of play and is not returned to play. We know that when that cell's in has its energy crisis, the risk of re-injury is very high, and it can actually make it much more severe, the outcome. So when in doubt, send them out. I do agree with that statement. And we've actually come up with some really good tests to identify acutely whether someone has a concussion. But in terms of identifying the type of concussion, that can usually, you know, the next day or two is when you can identify the type, and that's when you apply the right rehab. And it's actually one of the worst things you can do to treat concussion is rest, believe it or not.
Really?
Correct.
Yeah.
For the different subtypes of concussion, it's about active treatments, and it's about rehabilitation, retraining. It's not about rest, and that's a huge misconception.
Yeah. So give us an example of what sorts of treatment in terms of activity.
So, and for each subtype, it's a little different, but one of the more common ones is the vestibular system. And that system allows us, if your listeners have had a concussion and they felt foggy, a slow wavy, dizzy, detached, fatigued, headache, and busy environments bother them, like a church or a grocery store or a mall or a car ride, that tells you the vestibular system is involved. And when patients have those symptoms, what we have to do to treat that problem is actually we can provide a workout. We actually know how to exert patients and move patients in certain ways to retrain the system. but we also want exposures to busy environments. So it's exact opposite of what their body's telling them to do, but you have to challenge the system to get it better.
Yeah. So can it be the case that someone can sustain concussion of whatever sort and not realize it? I mean, outside a sporting scenario.
Oh, only 10% of concussions occur in sport. 90% of concussions occur in slip and falls and car accidents and work-related accidents. This is a highly common injury that we see. And the amount of knowledge with our treatment and identifying different types has really only occurred in the last 10 years or 15 years. And so the advancements are huge right now in this field. And we're really learning some of them. There's a lot of misconceptions about concussion and rest being one of them. And this isn't a cumulative injury if you treat it properly. Like, we can actually recover from this injury fully, and the kids can play sports very safely if this is treated properly.
If it's not treated at all?
Yeah, it's not what you want.
Yeah.
And that's when the outcomes can be, you know, it can be negative. And we see less force causing another injury. We see the outcomes to take much longer. And we're doing a lot of research now looking into what improperly treated concussions can lead to down the road. So we're going to be really careful. It's, you know, you want to make sure you go to a specialist that knows. We have tools. We know, like, concussion is not seen on a CT scan or an MRI. There's no structural brain damage. And so it's all at the cellular level, which you do not, there's no biomarker available to measure that, none. And so we've come up with tools like the Impact Computerized Neurocognitive Test Battery. For those of you familiar, the VOMS is a physical exam we've created. There's very smart ways of evaluating this in a targeted way. But you need to go to a clinician who knows how to do that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I have read reports, and I don't know if this is necessarily concussion, but some American football players who've received repeated impacts over their career and then later on in life start to experience a profound personality change.
Yeah, and we're doing a lot of research into that and starting to figure out why some of those things occur. The best advice I can give your listenership is if there's an injury, make sure they don't go back to play until they're seen by a specialist that knows how to evaluate and treat this. And the good news on that is we have a network of clinicians here in Ireland. Ireland is one of the most advanced countries for concussion. There's a network here, 10 to 12 clinicians that have come to our clinic in Pittsburgh at UPMC, and we've trained them our model. And we have clinics now in Belfast and in Dublin and in Cork and Galway, all over the country. And so the expertise is here in this country to evaluate this injury the proper way and to treat it the proper way.
Mm. So women and girls seem more susceptible to concussion. Why is that?
Well, it's a great question, and we absolutely see that females are more at risk not only to sustain a concussion, but to have a longer outcome. They take longer. And my main hypothesis on this, and we've actually published a lot of research on this, is that many don't know that the most common risk factors for concussion are history of car sickness is a big risk factor to get a concussion, history of migraine, and a history of anxiety. Those are the three big risk factors. And girls are six times more likely to have migraine and car sickness than boys. And so there's a lot of biology to that. And we're doing the largest women's health study with concussion, actually the first and largest, where we've received a big grant to study women's health and concussion. And we're finding some very interesting things. And we're really getting to the bottom biologically as to why those vulnerabilities might exist.
Yeah, so those vulnerabilities mightn't necessarily be just in the brain. It sounds hormones. Like there's maybe a hormonal factor.
Certainly we think hormones may be playing a role. We just published a paper in JAMA Neurology, which shows that menstruation can change after concussion, which was the first study to look at that. It's very interesting. Even though we are finding these findings, let me make it very clear that we can treat females with concussion very effectively. Mm. And it presents very similarly in males and females in terms of the types of concussions and the symptoms, but there seems to be a little bit more vulnerability in terms of having one and having a little longer time to recover if you're female versus male.
Yeah, and so it's not as if males or females are prone to any particular sorts of concussion. The chances are
girls are
similar.
A little more vulnerable to the vestibular type and the migraine type and the anxiety type. Concussion fights dirty. Like, think about this as an energy problem. And if you already have a history of car sickness, which is your vestibular system, that means you have a weaker vestibular system. the injury, because it's an energy problem, will hit that system harder in someone that has that pre-existing history.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Kate, one of our listeners, says, I recently had a concussion following a bad knock to my head. Screens of all types were a definite no-no. Took 4 weeks to fully recover. Not to be underestimated. Yeah, I presume if somebody has, when they're waiting to be examined for their potential concussion, and then they pull out their phone and start looking at it, is that a bad idea? Or a
not
good idea?
Necessarily, no. The type of concussion your listener may have had, I didn't evaluate him, obviously, or her, but it would be an ocular type concussion if they're very sensitive to screens. And believe it or not, the way we treat that is actually by retraining that system. So being on screens is what we want.
Really?
Even though it makes them feel, if that listener was avoiding screens for a month, that's probably why they didn't get better very quickly.
Okay.
So that's a good example of how you have to target where the problem's coming from and then apply the right treatment for that problem. And the way we treat that problem is by retraining it. It's not by avoidance. Like, I want lights up. I want noises up, screens, brightness up. I don't want them to avoid those things because you're missing an opportunity to train the system. Now, every case is different in terms of what we recommend, and every injury is different. You know, if there's 30 different types of knee injuries, why do we think there's one type of concussion, right? It's the brain, which is kind of cool if you think about it that way.
And that retraining process, is that a gradual thing, or are you recommending full immersion?
I'm a deep end of the pool kind of guy with this stuff most of the time, but it depends on the case and depends on the risk factors. But we're not afraid. Having symptoms is sometimes good for you when you try to recover from concussion.
Yeah.
That's a weird concept to wrap your head around because it's so... doesn't feel right.
It's counterintuitive, really, yes. Mm. Somebody wants to know, does a cranial impact that renders you, they say, unconcerned, I imagine that's a misprint, that they meant unconscious, does that always result in concussion?
Yeah, if you lose consciousness after a blow to the head, or you don't even need to have a blow to the head, as long as the brain moves violently enough in the skull, if you lose consciousness, that by definition means you've had a concussion. But this is an interesting stat. The symptom that best predicts outcome from concussion is dizziness. Dizziness is 6 times more predictive of longer outcome than losing consciousness, believe it or not.
Oh, right. Ed says, now, I wonder, is this a common occurrence? I suffered from a concussion a number of years ago. I went to numerous specialists who were, for the most part, dismissive of my symptoms. I couldn't go into supermarkets, go into crowded areas like stadiums, etc. It took nearly 5 years before a physiotherapist diagnosed me with vestibular dysfunction with migraines. Following corrective therapy, mainly centered around eye movement, before I started to feel somewhat functional. I still need to do the exercises now and again. So is there still perhaps a ways to go, even among medical professionals?
There is a long ways to go. That story I just heard from your listeners, we hear that every day, all day long. That is not an uncommon story. The sad thing is if that was targeted early, they wouldn't have gone down that pathway. And that's why it's important to get evaluated after you hit your head, because it's a very cryptic set of symptoms that you have, but we can really delineate what's happening and treat it. And not to get too complicated here, but that listener, what he said or she said was very real. Grocery stores, movements will bother them. And the nervous system is linked in the brain to the vestibular system, so it will produce a lot of anxiety in patients too. They'll feel very overwhelmed when they go into busy places, and every instinct in their body is to avoid those places. But the way we treat it is by retraining it.
Yeah.
So it's like a game of opposites, and that individual would not have known to do that on their own. They need to be guided. There's very good physical therapy to retrain that system. There's the right information can be shared and how to get better from this quickly. And even in patients that go through this for years, we can treat that. And don't think it's a lost cause, because this is a treatable problem. Concussion is a very treatable problem. You just have to apply the right treatments to the right problem.
Mickey, thanks a million for coming in to speak with us today. That was Dr. Mickey Collins there from UPMC Medicine in the United States.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.